certainly do need your attention, but more than that, I need your prayers. I am humbled by the opportunity to be here today with this great gathering. Certainly feel unworthy, but I feel an obligation to my Lord. I made a promise when I first began to try to preach that I would take or try at least to take advantage of every opportunity that the Lord would grant me. And that's why I didn't run when Brother Skinner asked me to do this. I would like to have. I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and I'll try to be as brief as I can. I used to wonder how I could ever be able to preach 15 minutes. And now I wonder how I can ever be able to preach in 15 minutes. I want to look at the second chapter of the book of 2 Timothy for a few verses of Scripture. A reading lesson, beginning with the first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. I'll conclude with reading that sixth verse. For a topic verse, or a verse to base our topic on, would be in the Ephesian letter, in the 6th chapter, and in the 10th verse, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, gave these instructions, or this instruction. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I want to talk to you, if God will be my helper, for just a little while about being a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it seems like in this time of financial prosperity, this time of peaceful existence, and I mean by that there's no physical persecution that I know of in this country. And in this time, sometimes we get to feeling that we're really not in much of a battle. But there is a warfare. You know, Jesus said a long time ago that there would be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. He was talking about nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But there has been a warfare going on from the very time that the devil and his angels were fought and banished, and the devil came down to this world and really became the god of this world, the prince of the power, the prince of darkness. Back many years ago, in 1958, as a matter of fact, I got a call from the State Department to come to Louisville, Kentucky, and being to be inducted into the armed forces. I went on my way, and when I got there, I went through the necessary ritual. They cut off my hair and shot me full of holes. And I issued me a uniform, and I took the oath, and I became a soldier of this country. But I was not able to fight the battles of this country just because I was called a soldier. I had to be trained. And I went into basic training. And I learned the elemental of being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that basic training lasted about 8 weeks. And then I was due for more training, specialized training. You see, I didn't tell the Army what I wanted to be or where I wanted to do or what I wanted to do or where I wanted to go, but they told me, they selected me and trained me and gave me individual training to be where they wanted me to be. And I went and took the advanced individual training. And after that, my entire tour of duty was a tour of duty, and that duty was in training. We were in training all of the time that I was in service, that I might be a good soldier for this country and defend and uphold the laws of this grand nation that we're living in. But I want you to know today that that time when I really realized the condition that I was in and really turned to the one that had been offered to me as the remedy of my sins, and when I turned to him and I was saved marvelously by the grace of God, I became a new creature, a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't look much like it then. Later on, that time when I felt it very needed and necessary for me to find the Lord's will. You see, I wasn't in His will yet. But when I had to find the Lord's will, I submitted myself to baptism. I put that old man in a watery grave. And when I came forth out of that watery grave, I came forth not only a new creature in Jesus Christ, but I came forth to walk in newness of life. I came forth to train to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ because I was in the greatest army that this world has ever known. But I had to have training. I had to find where the Lord wanted me to be. I want to say this right here, inject this just a little bit. If you're not a child of God, and if you're a member of the Lord's church, and you're not where God wanted you to be, you see, the Army placed me where they wanted me to be, and they trained me for that job. And I want to say this, if God has called you into the ministry, and you're not in the center of God's will, you're either a draft dodger, or if not, you've gone AWOL. I believe a God that has a place for every child of God, and especially every church member. Every part of my body is needed. I couldn't do even without my toenails. It would be a deformed body in a sense that it would hinder me. I met a woman one time that had to have her toes taken off, and she had to learn all over again how to walk because she was impaired. My friend, if we're not where God wants us to be, we may be in the army of the Lord, but we've either gone AWOL or deserted one. You see, God called me into the ministry. I didn't look much like a warrior then, and I may not be now. But I hope and pray that I can continue in God's will, and in doing so, I'll be able to fight the good fight of faith. This warfare is not fought with carnal weapons. The Apostle Paul says our warfare is not a carnal warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. And my friend, we have a spiritual warfare going on today, and I believe it's different than one we've ever fought before. If you're not in a warfare, if you're not having trouble, if you will, with the conditions and the things that we see in this day and time, you've gone AWOL. Let's look over here just a little bit in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter. The Apostle Paul says, the Spirit speaketh expressly, and that just simply means that you can count on it. It's right, it says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. My friend, this day and time, I believe we're living in the latter part of the latter days. I know Satan has always had his way to get at God's people, but at one time he tried to use physical force, but now I believe rather than coming outright, coming against God's people, you know, he is a subtle old character. He's not went to sleep on the job and allowed us to have prosperity, but he's allowed us to have peace and prosperity that he might come in another way. Paul said that this departing from the faith would lead to being seduced or seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I believe today that Satan is having or raising havoc, if you will, with younger generations, all because God's people have gone to sleep. I believe if we'd raise up and take on the whole armor of God, I believe we could combat the things that are going on in our society. Someone says, well, we can't change the laws of this country. We can't change the morals of this country. But I want to say this right now. If there's ever any change comes, it's going to have to start with God's people in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. It won't start in Washington and come down. The Roman Empire fell because of internal wickedness and rottenness, and that's exactly what's going to bring this nation down. Now, being seduced, and our population is being seduced. Oh boy, just got about 2 minutes. Let me point this out right now. If we don't reach our younger people right now, we're going to have a whole population of people, both Christian and non-Christian, that will wink at immorality. They'll just say, well, I don't believe in adultery, but I guess maybe it's not too good, not too bad. We don't even now raise an eyebrow when a woman goes to the hospital and has a baby, and it comes out in broad letters in the news, such and such child was born to such and such woman and such man, and even gives their name. I remember when a woman had a child out of wedlock, that she would be treated not as an outcast, but she didn't even want it to be known. It was ashamed of it, but there's no shame now. It's going to be before long, mark my words, If something isn't turned around, we're not going to be able to operate our church as we do now, because we're going to be told who can become members and who can't. And we'll be told if something doesn't happen that homosexuals has a right to come into your church building. And when it does that, they'll have to put me in the penitentiary. My time is gone. God bless you. Thank you.